Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, what has your soul told you lately? Are you listening? What have you told it lately? Is it listening? What's our relationship like? Who are we? Where do we think? How do we think? What does our soul have to think to us about? These are very sometimes confusing questions, but to straighten it out, to get a clear look at who we are, where we're going, what life is about, is the author of a wonderful book called Messages from the Divine, Wisdom for the Seeker Soul, Sarah Wiseman. Sarah, welcome to Energy Stew.
Oh, thank you, Peter. I'm so happy to be here with you.
This is wonderful to talk about these deep issues of life. And that's what your book is about. It really cuts to the quick of how life works in relationship to our purpose, our soul purpose, let's call it. Or let's just also say how we don't get it and we should get it. Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's really that your book is loaded with very valuable information about what to expect of life, of our soul life. Because that's really all that we really have is our soul life. And we need to follow it somehow in a way that's meaningful. And you wrote this book, a lot of it is channeled. Some of it is your own life experience. And some of it is great. I love the part where you talk about living in the Northwest in the rain and how, Northwesterners are not daunted by being out in the rain. You're not trying to protect yourself with umbrellas and raincoats and all. You just get wet.
Yeah, you just go out there.
I know. Yeah. A lot of people can't understand that, but I was thinking back in my younger years when I would be running miles and miles and miles, mostly in Central Park, anywhere else I could find also. But I just remember so many wet, soggy days that it just felt right to be out there getting wet.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a way of communicating with the universe. The rain is not, a separate thing. It's just a yet another way that we're in connection too. It's how
right.
I see it.
There's a pleasure in being part of the elements. And you talk about it a lot in your book about oneness and to experience oneness. And that's such a great metaphor, really, is being out in the rain, is allowing ourselves to be embraced by all of nature, all of life, in the way it communicates, in the way where we feel open, allowing, and we don't always. We're trying to protect ourselves. Our egos, they get in the way of our soul communication and separate us from the divine. And so, what?
Yeah. It's like when we go out in the rain and we let our egos run it, oh, I need the umbrella. I need the special jacket. Maybe for snow, maybe we do need those.
Well, there are times it's about being smart about our health.
Right. But in general, if we just go out and like, oh, this is an experience. This is pretty, water coming from the sky. That's pretty stunning, really, to think that, that we can just go be out in that. And right. Yeah.
But as a metaphor also.
Yes, I agree.
And there's so many things we can identify with in life to be, I would call it embraced, but, totally in within the greater being of life.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Seattle, which is not, you know, wasn't a very big city at that time. And you might even think, oh, it's not that busy, big. But so when I moved out here to Oregon, I really had no experience of nature living. And it took a long time to have that, allow that openness. I was pretty afraid most of the time of, I was afraid of a tree or I was afraid of a chicken, you know, and it took a while to kind of let that part be relaxed and open. It's metaphorically too, same thing.
Right. And that's an interesting learning because again, there's a lot we have to be smart about.
Yes.
And know, you know, how to live in nature successfully. But also, and I think most people are missing how much nature has to give us in so many ways that we've lost.
Yeah.
We're so electronically tuned that we lose that, the integral part of life where everything is one.
Right.
And maybe that's true wherever we are or even electronically.
Well, I think it is true, but nature helps us feel it better. Nature helps us feel it, like it assists us in how we experience it.
And it has a language that we can really relate to.
Yeah.
And I think going back to Native American teachings really helps us appreciate how to integrate totally in the world and honestly in the world and respect it. But your book is so much about respecting ourselves at the deeper level. And one thing I kept feeling going through your book is that it's all great as long as you're willing to allow it. And so many people are not, they're not taught to allow it. They're programmed to distract themselves, to not want to just be. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to have, they have to do, they can't just be. And there's so many teachings in your book about direct connection and about, you know, being open. And even, you even talk about it. It's not about meditating. It's not even about mindfulness. You know, I really appreciated that. It's not like all these teachings of how to be. It's about being.
Yeah. I mean, I have great respect for people on those paths, but the people that I work with, and they aren't on those paths, and neither am I. It's not our practice. So
wait a minute, how can you say that? Look at all this, you know, messages from the divine.
No, what I mean universal. Is we're not formal meditative meditation.
Right.
No, we might like to be. That. Yeah, we might like to be, but it doesn't fit our way, I guess. And so yeah, it's about showing up to wherever you are and making that become aware of wherever you are,
being at home with self.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know how to be at home with self, so we distract ourselves with you know, appliances.
Yeah, devices, especially devices, now.
Right.
Devices.
Yeah. Cars, planes, whatever, that, it's just gratifying the soul, the ego, and not necessarily the soul, because the ego can never get enough.
Yeah.
The soul always doesn't want need, the soul is not a measuring instrument.
Well, the soul is complete in every moment. There's no time it's not complete, whereas the ego is just grasping, you know, needing. But I don't think it's people's fault. I mean, this is how we've been raised to not allow ourselves to take to let our soul be the leading force. We've been taught that way by our society. So it's taking that paradigm and saying, well, we don't have to do it that way anymore. We can live a different way now.
Well, I think in one way that's true, that society has taught us. Another way, our souls have allowed society to teach us, and not everybody. So a lot of us have said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so there are different levels of soul development on this planet right now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Doing all kinds of things that we look askance at and say, wait a minute, this isn't what is going to help our souls, although in the end it does. I mean, I think everything is in divine order. It's mm-hmm. just that it's not an order that many of us want to be aligned with.
I think one of the parts in the book, it talks about everyone's on their own path and everyone has their own lessons. And this idea of not being too concerned if somebody's like, you know, in way behind on the soul path, you know, like in my mind, if I consider someone just starting, it's not important. It is divine order. We all are progressing as right, we can.
What I'm getting at are the people who seem to be setting us back.
Yes, but they just aren't. They just don't have their consciousness turned on yet.
Right. Yeah. Right. So.
Yeah.
Right, and so we're all growing. Everybody has a soul, and we're just at different levels of what we want for our souls, what we've come here for, to right. grow with. And some of us have really, you know, come here wanting great strides of, you know, of oneness. And others are here just to challenge it.
Yeah, or just to have tantrums, sort of. Right. To have tantrums.
Well, or just, you know, lacking respect for human life and not having empathy. I think empathy really has so much to do with soul growth and with our soul identity of, because I think the more we can identify with our soul, the greater is our self-worth. Mm-hmm.
That's a very nice way of putting that. And the more we can have empathy and compassion for others, the more we understand our oneness. The more we understand.
But which comes first? Maybe knowing oneness gives us compassion and empathy. And so that's why it's, you know, we really have to have that compassion for souls who don't have it. Mm-hmm. And understand the larger picture, even though we can be very annoyed at them because they do things that are unkind, sometimes even appearing evil. You know, there are a lot of people who are not ready to love, to experience, you know, loving expression. And so they're experiencing ego expression.
Right.
And it's very frustrating for so many of us who feel like we've come here to experience love, and we're experiencing ego. Mm-hmm.
And then our lesson is we are invited to learn to love and not allow ego, but allow our own response and keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward with our own path.
Yeah. And we've come here on purpose for this. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, our egos are saying, oh, I've come here just to expand love and oneness and all that. That's actually an ego thing.
Yeah. I have noticed, I think, I feel hopeful, even regardless of what's in the media and what's happening, but I feel that the people that I've been working with are becoming more and more evolved, and I think I'm evolving better. Right. I think I'm doing better. And so I think that there is hope. I think we do, we move towards levity or light, you know, that's the stronger force than darkness. So we move in the direction of the highest vibration.
Right. And we're the guides. That's why your book is out, Messages from the Divine, that hopefully more and more people will be moved by and, and feel greater connection in the universe and with their souls, and be more light bearers for all the dark that seems to be around us now.
Yeah.
And, but the more that we, it comes back to this struggle, this ego, the struggle between the ego and the soul, that we need to forgive our egos and really embrace our souls, and do it in ways that your book is really helpful for. Mm-hmm. You know, how to connect in the universe. You have different chapters on how to create connection. Mm-hmm. And they're so helpful. Because I teach intuition, and I and I know that there's so many ways that we're guided, and not just by being intuitive, but by being aware.
Yes.
And life shows up.
Yeah, I think one thing the book doesn't have a moral stance, and the book doesn't focus on. Instead of saying, let's work on your ego and let's get that organized, it focuses on, let's just take in more light and let's just have more connection. And the idea is that, you know, it's like if you put a drop of food coloring in a cup, a drop of divine food coloring, the more you put into the cup, eventually it changes color. And it's sort of like the more light you're taking in, or the more connection you're having, eventually the ego just kind of gets left in the dust, because it's, you're so much more fulfilled by this other that you're taking in.
I think then the light can embrace the ego and forgive it, and let it, you know, say thank you for sharing.
Yes. Integrate, right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's really, I'm glad you clarified that, because it's something that your book is about, is how to enhance our connection with our souls, and in such a positive way. And there's so many chapters in your book. I mean, you do have a lot of great, I mean, I like that. I like when books have a lot of chapters, because then we feel, okay, turn the page, let's get the next expression, the next teaching.
Yeah.
And there's so many of them. And so so there's a lot of lessons about not only surrender, but allowing what I've been recently excited about is Wu Wei, is the Chinese term for just, you know, allowing serendipity and synchronicity to happen, and not, you know, get rid of our expectations. It's very Buddhist. It's, you know, unattachment.
Yes. You
know? And yet it's, to me, unattachment is full engagement, but without opinion.
Yes. Woo-hoo. That's why they say woo way. That's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's good. Right. Yeah.
And so the whole idea is really, you know, to keep on recognizing ourselves in the wholeness that you keep on talking about in the book.
Yeah, I think maybe the book has that the book uses the term of flow and of being in this state of flow. It's the same as you just said, just a different word. The idea that we can just jump into this river of the divine nudging us to our highest potentiality. And when we're not fighting, when we're not trying to push the river in a different direction, when we're just going with that, no expectation or no opinion, that's where the universe can help take us further.
Right. I guess it's to be awake.
Yes.
To what impulses are guiding you in the river, mm-hmm. not you trying to force it.
Yes. And it's also not passive. You're not just, right. I'll just let the universe do my destiny. It's like, no, you're consciously awake and aware, and you're moving in the direction of guidance, or you're moving in the direction of connection at all times.
Right, and there are two different things at play here. One is, and you get into it in the book, is the Buddha's sense of always being an infant, always just really having that innocence of being open to everything and learning in every way possible. And then the other, I believe, it has to do with being true to our unique nature, which is different from everybody else. Mm-hmm. So the idea is not to flow as one, emulating each other, but to respect each other and respect ourselves in our uniqueness. Because I work with, for instance, with the playing cards and the destiny cards and with human design. And those are ways that we're born to be unique. The mechanics of our personality are different. And we think differently. We have a different language going on in our brain all the time than everyone else. And everyone is different. And to recognize that we have a contract, you call it, contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or a soul's calling, or a soul's path, and it is absolutely unique. You know, if my path had been determined by society, I would have probably, I don't know, gotten my MBA. That was the track. But, you know, and here I am, a channel, right? So
right.
That's my soul contract, and. Yeah. I just need to do, that's my most important thing to bring. Everyone has their most important thing to bring to the world. And
I was once matriculated for an MBA at NYU. And I remember, this is 1966. And I remember being at the school in an elevator, dressed in my unique way, surrounded by everybody in the same gray suits. Mm-hmm. And I looked around and I said, I'm in the wrong place. Obviously, I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
And then I signed up for the Peace Corps. And, you know, so we all have different, you know, roles to play.
Yeah, you were in the state of awareness, and then you went into flow in all the, you know, you were aware. That's why you were able to jump into the correct path.
Yeah, but, you know, the what ifs, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda. Well, if I'd gotten my MBA, you know, it's like, you know, no. It's not me. It could never be me.
Right. And yet, there are souls that's what they're supposed to do. And, you know, it works out for everyone.
That's their design.
Yes.
So, you know, so, so I really, you know, this book is, it's so interesting to absorb it. And you even talk about early in the book that you can absorb it for the first time, you know, but if you looked at it again, you're not going to see it the same way.
Yeah. I think I'm feeling like the book is, well, it's channeled, and it was channeled in that, really the Amrit Vela, the wee hours of the morning. And I feel when I read it now, it came out just completely whole, like it just all just came out, one lesson after the next. And it feels like it is on a lot of different levels. Like people just starting on the path tend to think it's kind of easy, And then someone like you who has been on the path very, very significantly for many years is like, oh, there's a lot here. And that's what I feel. It's like, whoa, there's a lot in this that I need to mull over.
Right. And I think people have to recognize that, because you could look at it and say, oh, these are simple things I already know.
Right.
But that's on the surface.
Right.
And then all of a sudden there's so many ahas along the way that it's, you know,
I also find that for me, and I'm not saying this me as the writer, because it came through, so I don't really take credit for creating, except for the pieces, you know, that I wrote after the little stories. But it feels like whenever I read it, I feel very calmed and uplifted. That's my sense of it's just very clearing, just to even...
Yeah, it's very profound in a way that your soul is reading it.
Your soul is reading it, right.
And gets happy about it.
Yes. It feels like it's reading something it's remembered, and it's remembering it again.
Exactly. That's wonderful. So, Sarah Wiseman, is there a website?
Yeah, it's just sarahwiseman.com.
And that's S-A-R-A without an H.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's great. And I just am so glad that I had a chance to read it. And
thank you.
And feel it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. What I know the level that you brought to it, so I am very appreciative of that feedback.
Thank you. Thanks. And I'm sure that our listeners are going to take advantage of this.
Great.
And so this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew, and I want to thank Sarah for being a guest on it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I'm at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening. Thank you.